welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you.
You really have that down after 99
episodes. Yeah, it took long enough, didn't it? It really, really did. You think by episode 100, I would have it down, no matter how categorically bad at it I am. But yes, I think I finally have. Now we got to switch intros.
Okay.
But yes, we are back, and yes, we are doing it live, so to speak, I guess, as Bill O'Reilly would say. And this is a very exciting moment
for
us.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right person to be, you know, quoting.
Screw it, we'll do it live. Yes, well, definitely the wrong person to be quoting these days. But on that note, we are doing it live, and this episode 100. Can you believe we made it 100 episodes of this? How insane are we?
Very. As someone pointed out, it's not just episode 100. It's 100 hours of us talking about haunted houses.
And to be fair, it's only a small percentage of the time we spend talking about haunted houses.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. But anyways, yes, we are back. We're doing this live, celebrating 100 episodes, and also celebrating Halloween.
Yeah, it fell right on it.
Yeah, it pretty much did. It can't get much closer than it did, and that's really kind of frustrating because we got a couple of people who commented and messaged saying, hey, can you postpone episode 100? And right. Like, no, it's kind of in the name of the podcast. It's on weekly. Timing sucks. But episode 200 will fall out of season, so that will work well.
Yes.
That will work very well whenever we do episode 200. But this one, unfortunately, yes, it fell at the very end of the highest point of season. So, yes, I realize a lot of people cannot join us.
Right.
But if you are in the chat, we will take your questions as we go along. We hope that you were able to participate. But, yeah, so let's just start. First off, I want to talk a little bit about how our Halloween this year is going. We've had our first two nights as home haunters. We do three nights a year. And so not to get run out of town by our neighbors.
Right.
First two nights are in the books.
Yes.
And they are in very large books.
Yeah. Yes, we had record-breaking nights, both nights. So that was cool.
Yes. I think we finally have got this haunting thing kind of, haunt building thing kind of figured out.
Yeah.
Well, because we've been doing haunts for long before we started building them. But that moment you make the leap from actor to actually, you know, building a haunt.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bigger leap than you think.
Right.
I mean, and that's something we were not prepared for the first few years was this jump from, yeah, we know how to scare people. We know scare timing and scare design to actually putting screws into boards and walls. It's a huge leap.
Right. Well, and I was thinking about it last night because inside, if something breaks, I fix it on the spot. And I remember years past where it seemed like every break we had in audience, I was fixing something. And the last 3 or 4 years, I haven't been doing that nearly as much. So we've gotten a lot better.
A lot better design, a lot better construction, and I think a much more effective haunt in general. We're getting a lot of good scares. Our security camera footage is telling a very, very interesting tale.
Yes.
So, yes, I am very, very happy with the way things have been going this year. It's been absolutely wonderful.
Right.
The reactions have been good. The feedback has been amazing. We haven't had, and it's a good thing in many ways, we haven't had as many people chickening out.
Right.
Because we've done a better job at pacing our scares and pacing how we do things. So people are encouraged to finish this very short haunt. I mean, that's just it. We're only like a couple of minutes to go through most time. We used to take a source of pride in the fact that so many people couldn't finish it.
Right.
But we realized, oh, that kind of screws the actors on the back end of the haunt.
Well, yeah.
And so, yeah, we've started putting more of the scares backloaded, the really good ones backloaded. Yeah. And that has helped.
Yeah. And actually, the two people who yelled surrender, one yelled it at the very first room. So, you know, they weren't going to make it the rest of the way anyway.
There was no, they had no chance.
and the second one yelled it at the last one. Well, and, so.
And we always know, or at least I do outside, who's going to be the ones to yell surrender.
Right.
Because they're the ones that read the rules, and that's the one they focus on.
Right.
Is the surrender rule, where you can yell surrender and be escorted out. And so, yeah, it's, you know, you always know when they focus heavily on that rule, it's always going to be, it's going to be a rough group. It's going to be either a rough or a great group.
Right.
It really depends on your perspective, I guess. But yes, the season so far has been going well. No injuries to report, no incidents, no destruction of property, no theft of stuff.
Yeah.
All in all, it's been pretty solid. I'm very happy with what we've done. We completed the haunt itself early.
Yes.
Which enabled us to do some things we wanted to do, like new donation box.
Right.
Which I love the new donation box.
Cool.
It's awesome. We also got to, you know, do a little more work on promotion and things like that and grow. And now I'm a little nervous thinking maybe we outgrew our size a little bit here because we were pretty slammed the last two nights. And historically, we've always done like 85 to 90% of our business Halloween night.
Right.
And if that's the case, if those percentages stay the same, we're pretty hosed.
Yeah, we're not going to get a break as actors. Never get a break because you're outside.
A break? What is this break you speak of? Yeah. But no, seriously, Halloween night is going to be crazy from the looks of things. So very excited about it, but also very nervous at the same time. But every time this year, and it's always funny, it's actually kind of appropriate because – you know, Facebook does that on this day in your history, blah, right. blah, blah, this happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you ate a cake, and it's usually something like that. You had dinner somewhere. Oh, yeah. Yay, exciting. No. This time around, it reminded me of a comedy post I did earlier where I was like, a conversation me and Crystal have. Me, hey, next year if we don't do the haunt, we should get a hot tub for the house. You know, it's about the same amount of money. And Crystal's response is, but you can't scare people with a hot tub.
Yeah.
Well, not as effectively as a haunted house.
Yeah.
But yeah. So why do we do this?
We love it.
Well, obviously.
Short answer.
All right. But why do we love it? Why do we love it? I mean, what is it to you? What does Halloween and haunting and all this mean to you?
Yeah. Well, I think that it's good for the neighborhood. We're building family traditions. I love seeing kids go through with their family. And I love seeing, you know, teenagers that are so scared and holding on to each other, but still having a great time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and one of the things that's very true for our home haunt, and I'm sure a lot of home haunts, is we are a lot of people's first haunted attractions.
Yeah.
We're the introduction.
Right.
If you do well here, you may well go on to visit the House of Shock, the Mortuary, Rise, 13th Gate, or something right. else in the area, and go enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's something I think that home haunters provide the industry in general, is we are the introduction.
Yes.
We are producing new haunt fans.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
By the dozen, every year, it seems.
Yeah. If you know differently, let us know, because we could be wrong.
We could be wrong, but that's I hear that all the time, that, you know, hey, you know, this is our first haunt, or, you know, and I like in off season, I hear, you know, that was my daughter's first haunt, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Right.
And now she wants to act in the haunt
right.
type thing. So we are building haunt fans. At least I hope we are.
Yeah.
That's think so. One of the goals.
Yeah. No, I think we are. Now, those who, you know, just took off the past two nights and you didn't get to talk to afterwards, I don't know if they'll be back. But
yeah, we got some rising. Maybe instead of haunt fans, we're creating some track stars, too.
That's possible.
Oh, man. Some of those guys. Yeah, some of them were just gone. There's no chatting them up.
No.
But yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I think that we do. But honestly, even without that, I know we would still do it because we genuinely love haunting. And I was trying to figure it out some over the past week, because that's the thing. And you know that scene in the movie Airplane where the guy's like, I picked the wrong week, picked the wrong day to quit smoking.
Yeah.
I picked the wrong week to stop drinking.
Yeah.
I picked the wrong week to stop doing cocaine.
Right.
That's where I'm at, except I never started cocaine, but I still picked the wrong week to quit it.
Yeah. I picked the wrong time of year to quit caffeine.
Oh, God, yes. I keep forgetting you're off caffeine for a while, at least. Unsure of your return to caffeine.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're still standing, honestly. I think it's a miracle.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, you talk about how you were thinking about these questions over the weekend. My brain's been completely focused on the haunt, so much so that I forgot to buy a book for a professor at work. But that's okay, because I made it up to her.
No, good. As long as you made it up.
Yeah, I did.
As long as you made it up.
I'm completely consumed.
Yeah, it is all consuming. But I think one of the reasons that we do this, and specifically this is our way of celebrating Halloween, is because we're both creative types, both artist types.
Right.
And admittedly, like, you're the visual artist. You always have been. This is the reason you've always taken such a heavy lead in the design.
Right.
And the decorating aspect of the haunt.
Yeah.
But we're both artist types. And one thing I think every artist clamors for is to know their art impacts people.
Yeah. Oh, I would definitely agree with that.
And we know our art as haunters impacts people. We see how it impacts people. We have video of it impacting people.
Right.
And it's always kind of weird because we'll go to Home Depot like some random month to pick up what we need for the build or whatever project we're working on. And people will come up to us and tell us, you run that haunted house in Algiers. Yeah. We went there last year. It was so great. It was awesome. We had a great time. You scared the crap out of my little kid.
Yeah. Well, I got that at the dollar store a couple of weeks ago, and I saw the mom with her three kids in line first night. You know, I recognized her because she stopped me in line.
Yeah. If you're an artist type that wants to see how your work is impacting people, this is a great industry.
Yeah.
And that could be any art. The art could be acting. It could be music. It could be painting. It could be video, audio. Yeah. It could be anything. You can do any kind of art, contribute to a haunt, and see immediately how it impacts people.
Yes.
It is so beautiful. It is so wonderful.
Yep.
And I absolutely love that. So, and that I think is my favorite part of haunting, is being creative and getting to see the fruits of your creativity.
Well, yeah.
Because, right off the bat.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's a legacy for me also, because, you know, how many people have we affected in that way and are going to, you know, we have legends about us, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners do too.
Yeah.
Families that come back year after year, and it's just great to see.
Yeah.
And it's also because I don't have as much time or space to do other artistic endeavors.
Yeah. Well, we'd have more space if we didn't have a haunted house.
This is true.
So this is kind of a self-created problem.
But, you know, so a lot of my paintings were wall-sized anyway. These are just
put
new paintings.
Put in panels.
These are just new paintings.
Just build a real frame for them rather than that flimsy stuff you were building with.
Yes. Yeah. And I like studying, you know, not only is it artistic, but I have a love of the brain and how it works.
Yeah.
And understanding it. And I love delving into what really scares people and why it scares them.
Yeah.
And how getting scared can be beneficial to you when you overcome that fear.
Yeah. Like, you know, when I was a kid, I had a fear of heights.
Right.
I did a ropes course for junior high gym.
Yeah.
Because it turned out I had a greater fear of dodgeball. You put those two together, I'm like, heights, we're going heights.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's something that you can get over by doing it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sometimes.
For me, that's
not particularly the case.
Yeah, the heights thing hasn't worked out so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. When I was a kid and when I was in middle school, the idea of going 10 feet up in the air for a ropes course was mortifying. And now I'm the guy that when his friends go skydiving next, will probably be tagging along.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely bananas to even think about.
Yeah. Skydiving, I don't know about. I think I would be terrified, but I would enjoy it after I got on the ground safely.
Yeah. I think you would be fine. I think you'd be like Stewie in that recent episode of Family Guy where you shut the run out of the plane. Yeah. do it again, do it again. Get to the bottom.
Yeah, that's pretty much how things go with me.
Yeah, that's the way you are with roller coasters too.
Yeah.
But I mean, so yeah, I get it. I do understand. But yeah, it's absolutely bananas. Absolutely have always loved helping people get over their fears. And I like to think people emerge a haunted house a little stronger than they went in.
Right. Now, as a kid, Halloween meant something completely different for me.
Yeah. Now, then that brings us to the next part, which is how, you know, did the love for Halloween start and what does it mean? Halloween. Wow, I'm tired.
Woo! All of your words just went away.
I'm speaking in ogre. But yes.
Don't insult ogres like that.
Oh, God. They're all Scottish. We know this from Shrek.
What?
We learned from Shrek. But yes, Halloween as a holiday has always had, even before haunting, has always had a special meaning to both of us.
Yes.
And one of the Facebook questions we got, actually, we'll go and pull that up. It comes from, oh, Jerry, about asking us, what is Halloween spiritually for you? Mm-hmm. And that is a damn good question. I never really thought much about Halloween spiritually. Right. Neither of us are super religious people in traditional sense.
Right.
But spiritually, of course, has a different meaning. And it does definitely have a deep spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it's tough to explain. I remember as a kid, I liked Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas was about stuff.
Yeah.
But, and because like I said, I never was a very religious person. So, but Halloween was just the time for fun.
Yeah.
And be a kid. And explore and talk about and see spooky things that you didn't do the rest of the year. Most people didn't.
Right.
Now as adults, it's Halloween 365.
Right.
But as a kid, you know, you were not supposed to explore those things. My family surely didn't.
Yeah. For me, Christmas was meant that I was sick. So Halloween, though, was always the time where I could be anything I wanted to be. I didn't have to be the poor new kid that had just moved to a new town. That was still an outcast and trying to find a place to fit in. I could be a rock star. I could be anything. The only thing I couldn't be, and this was because they wouldn't let me, was a knight. Because I wanted to be a knight.
Which is weird. There were female knights.
I know. As soon as I learned about them, I brought this up. Believe me.
There actually were female knights. I mean,
but yes,
Joan of Arc would like a word with your mom.
Exactly. Well, that's something that I did was, you know, I learned about Joan of Arc and I said, look, I want to be Joan of Arc. She was a knight. I want to be a knight. But
yeah,
that never quite panned out.
No.
But anything else that I wanted to be, I could be. And I could feel powerful in the costume and in the identity of someone that wasn't me.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where you could be anything and do anything.
Right.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we both took to haunting was a sort of the adult extension of that.
Right.
Was we can build a library.
Mm-hmm.
We can build a mad scientist laboratory.
Right.
We can build these things. We can make these things.
Right.
These things are real. We can do these things now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like we're basically the way I look at haunting for me is like we're trick or treating,
mm-hmm.
but as grownups.
Yeah.
We just never stop trick-or-treating, basically.
Yeah, well, we do get to keep all the candy afterwards.
Yes, we do.
That we don't see.
There is a lot of candy. There is a lot of candy involved in Halloween.
Yeah.
It's always difficult to let that go when you're really this into it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I remember as a kid going out on Halloween, my favorite costume. My favorite costume for a couple of years. I developed a fascination with ninjas.
Yeah.
Because I thought ninjas were badass.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then I wanted to be a ninja so bad. So I had and of course I realized as an adult I was just wearing basically a black morph suit with a slit over the eyes.
Right.
You know, and a sword. It was.
Yeah.
But still, as an adult, they're adult eyes. The costume's a little bit lamer.
Well, not only that, but you know, there's all sorts of political issues involved with it now. So, yeah. You know, but yeah.
But I remember loving going out with the sword and going and pretending to be a ninja, mm-hmm. and then wanting to visit all the scary houses. And
right.
we didn't, in our neighborhood, we didn't have a house like ours.
Right. Yeah, I had never lived in a place that had
like a giant haunted house in the garage and no. the side yard.
No, the only thing that comes close to that was there was a house that you could go into that was spooky. But I walked up to the door and they wanted me to go in to get candy. And I went back and asked my mom if I could. And she said, you're not going into a stranger's house. So then I didn't. So then it was like curiosity for years. I still am curious about what the heck was in that house.
Yeah, what was in the house? What's in the house?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
But
yeah, I understand completely. I understand completely that because there were a few houses. There was one house that in hindsight was really unsafe
yeah.
in my neighborhood because we had a lot of hills in my neighborhood. We live in New Orleans now, so I was like, what is this hill?
Right.
But we had hills. And there was one house that had a big, long slope yard with big steps that led up to the front right. door. And they put a strobe light on it.
Yeah.
Strobe light plus stairs. Never do that.
Yeah.
That is a terrible don't. Combination. Yeah. But I remember that being a strobe light being so scary when I was a little kid, like 7 right. years old or so.
Well, yeah. And I didn't see it on stairs, but I saw it in the daycare that my mom worked at did a spooky thing. So they had a strobe light with a guy in a skeleton costume who would walk through the strobe light towards you. And that was the scariest thing then, you know,
yeah,
but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's always, always really, really frustrating to be told you're too old for that, though.
It is.
I remember I trick-or-treated, because I had a younger brother,
mm-hmm.
so I and you did too. In fact, our brothers are the same age, even though we're different ages.
Yes.
But, we had an excuse to trick-or-treat a little bit longer
right.
than other kids. Oh, yeah, I'm not trick-or-treating. I'm going with my brother, though. You know?
Yeah.
Someone's got to go with the brother. He'd have been fine. But truth be told, but I wanted to do it. And like I said, the year I stopped trick-or-treating, my dad's like, well, then we're going to stay home and scare trick-or-treaters. You know,
yeah.
we're flipping the script, basically. And I'm like, we can do this? And so, but yeah, that to me is what Halloween has always been about. It is the purest childhood
yeah.
in many ways. When you can use your imagination, you can be anything, you can do anything.
Right.
And it's about keeping that spirit alive. It is a commercial holiday, don't get me wrong, but compare it to like Christmas.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can alter reality
yeah.
for people for a short period of time.
Yeah. You can make whatever you want be true, be
yeah.
real. And that can be anything from the scariest, goriest, whatever to
right.
you know, the biggest power fantasy to
yeah.
just being a cute little princess or whatever, yeah. whatever you want.
Apparently zombie princesses are in this year, though.
Yeah, that's what we've learned. We've been talking to the people at Spirit about what costumes are big. We do this every year. We try to get a leg up on what we're looking for in line.
Right, because you're line actor character.
Yeah, I have to talk to people, interact.
Right. And
it's nice to have a few jokes at the ready. It's nice to understand what the hell I'm talking. Apparently I have to watch this thing called The Descendants.
yeah.
I know I've seen the posters, but I haven't the foggiest what it is. I got to yeah. be honest. I'm so out of touch right now. It is frightening.
Yeah.
So they're like Descendants. That's that Disney thing, right? With like the daughters and sons of the villains. That's yeah. about as far as I can get you. So apparently yeah. I've got to do something with that. But yeah, but that's what Halloween means to me. It's a chance to really alter reality, a chance to do something different, a chance to be a kid.
Yeah.
Even if you're a grown up.
Yeah. I definitely feel the joy mm-hmm. That's childlike whenever yeah, yes. I start seeing the Halloween stuff
mm-hmm.
and we're building stuff and then people come through and they get scared and it's awesome.
Yeah. It's just such a pure thing in so many ways.
Mm.
It's about fun. It's about excitement.
Yeah.
So maybe I guess there are some people that are just terrified of Halloween.
Yeah.
That should never.
Yeah.
Should never. We have in the chat, late 1277. So many kids want to be descendants. I don't even know what the hell it is. I'm so out of touch.
That's okay, because just the idea of having a show centered around villains is awesome to me.
Yeah,
because I always liked the villains.
It was explained to me that it was the Disney princesses and villain, but the villain side almost in many ways. And I'm down with this idea. At least on paper, this sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So we're definitely cool with that. Okay, can we talk about a real quick chat question? Can you talk about our family's reaction to our love of Halloween, supportive, annoyed, etc.? Okay, that's a good one, actually, because, like I said, my dad is the reason I started haunting.
Right.
When I said I was staying on trick-or-treating, and the first haunt we did with was just him moving a ghost up and down a fishing line to scare people as they went and ring the doorbell. Actually, very, very good scare, though.
Yeah.
Surprisingly good. But you know, they were very supportive of us. Our yard display got bigger and bigger and bigger. We went off to college. I went off to college, rather, not we.
Yeah.
I went off to college. And, you know, they kind of petered out. They lost the love for it.
Yeah. In fact, we asked them at one point if we could build a haunted house in their backyard.
Yeah.
And they were worried about their insurance.
And I can't blame them.
No, I don't blame them at all.
I don't blame them at all. Especially concerning the design we had was absolutely abominable.
It was.
I am glad that was not our first haunt build, Mel.
Yeah, no kidding.
Our first haunt build was tiny and puny, but it was much safer.
Yeah.
And much better done, I think, than what we would have done there. But yeah, so they've petered out. They don't get it.
No.
But my parents are very, very good about supporting my craziness and whatever it may be. They don't understand a lot of the choices I make.
Right.
Hell, this is probably the least of their concerns about my lifestyle and the things I do.
Yeah. And for my family, very supportive. In fact, my dad and my brother are often part of our crew. My mom tried to come down this year, but there were some issues with that. So very supportive, very big part of it. For me, it is family time. Because I don't see them as often, but during Halloween, they're here for about a week, and that's the longest stretch I get to see them during the year. So it's very supportive there.
Yeah, your family you definitely take after your father on this stuff.
Well, yeah, because he and I would cook up ideas to scare trick-or-treaters, because when mom would take...
then your mom would do shucks, you too.
Well, yeah, or that's going to be too scary. Then we won't get rid of all the candy, because she would take Daniel out trick-or-treating and dad and I would stay home and hand out candy. But we didn't get to do a lot of big scares as a kid. But as an adult, he comes up with some pretty good ideas that we sometimes are able to incorporate. Yeah.
We don't let him build anything, though, because... Sweet Jesus, that man overbuilds absolutely everything. It weighs 300 pounds and can't be moved.
He builds like there's a large group of four-year-olds going to try to tear it apart.
With hammers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Whew, when he builds anything, you know it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, your family's always been super supportive of it. I think my family gets it, doesn't get it, rather, necessarily. But I think they get it better than they let on.
Yeah.
It's just they're always very timid about doing these types of things. And I've never really understood why.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things is that, you know, even people that we see on a daily basis, we tell them we have a haunted house in our garage. There's about 600 people that come by every year to see it. And you don't really fully grasp what that means until you come to see it.
Yeah, that's what happened to our actual neighbor.
Yeah.
We have a neighbor. He's new this year, but he's been around for quite a few months now.
Yeah.
And we've told him many times,
hey,
we have a haunted house in the garage. You should come see it.
Right.
We'll give you a tour beforehand if you want. And he drove up at the end of night last night.
Right.
He's like, what's going on here? I said, the haunted house, one we talked to you about.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And then he gets in line and he goes through it. And he could not believe it.
Yeah.
He could not believe it. He was flabbergasted.
Yeah.
And it's just, wow, it's absolutely amazing, because you really have to beat people over the head with this. But, you know, on the family issue, I would say both families are supportive. Mine less so, mostly because I just think they...
Well, and there's also a distance. Yeah, there's a greater distance.
Yeah, they're in South Carolina, we're in New Orleans. But also, it's just I don't think they have I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. They never really went all in. Yeah. On it like I did.
Yeah.
And they don't understand why I did.
Right.
I think is part of it. But your family definitely gets it.
Yeah.
Your family is definitely in on it. Like I said, your dad and brother routinely, your brother's here this year.
Yeah. Yes, he's downstairs.
Yeah, he's downstairs watching Orville, I think is what he's watching. So yeah. If there's any of that leaking through the microphone, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's our families. Now, we do have other Facebook questions. We'll go and start on those. We're about a little bit before the halfway point, but okay. Some really good ones here. Any recommendations? This is from Justin Neff on the Facebook page. Any recommendations for haunters wanting to attend HauntCon in January? It just looks like the seminars are catered to owners and trying to see which tickets would be worth buying. Okay. A, they have not announced the seminars for the new year. Those are the seminars for last year.
Okay.
They have not posted the new ones yet. And I know that because I have not gotten confirmation one way or another if I'm speaking.
Right.
So I do not know if anyone has the question whether I'm speaking at HauntCon. I hope to be. I have put in a good proposal, I think. Yeah. I would like to speak. I have spoken there before. It was a lot of fun. Would like to do it again, but we will see.
Right.
Whether they accept me. And if they don't, it'll probably just be because, you know, I did it recently.
Yeah.
And it's a very similar talk to what I was going to do previously. In fact, it was going to be largely the same talk, just updated info. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as HauntCon recommendations, I've read what they've already announced the touring.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, Rise.
Rise was the only thing that, worth it. As someone out of town, I would be interested in.
Yeah.
I've been to the other places.
It was the Museum of Death. What was it? It was the Museum of Death.
Mardi Gras World.
Oh, Mardi Gras World.
Yeah. Mardi Gras World, there's not much that I can see a haunter learning from that tour.
Yeah.
Because they use paper mache to build the floats.
Okay, is Mardi Gras World an interesting tour? Absolutely. I've been on it. It is beautiful. It is stunning. It is interesting. It's all about how Mardi Gras parades come together. It's very, very interesting. I do actually recommend. I've not actually seen it at the new location.
Right.
New location. Like they just moved there.
Yeah.
They've been there like how long? 6 years or something like that. But
yes. But you know, that's about how long they've not been blocking the entire bridge to get over to New Orleans.
To take the floats over the assholes.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that so much.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm glad that they are on the right side of the river for what they need to do.
Yes. Now that we don't have any major West Bank parades, they're where they need to be. I agree with it. I mean, I was sad to see them go because they were the only major tourist attraction on the West Bank.
Right.
But, God, you know, it's helped traffic so much during carnival season.
Yeah.
I can't find it to complain. But, yeah, it's an interesting tour. I just don't know if it appeals to haunters.
Yeah. The Museum of Death.
It
feels a lot more exploity and trying to get money than it is actually information.
It is a tourist trap, most certainly.
Yeah.
And I'll say this clearly. I don't use tourist trap necessarily as a negative.
Right.
Because tourist traps have their place.
Yeah.
For tourists.
Yes.
But here's the thing, most visitors will be tourists, they are not tourists to this stuff. You know what I mean? That makes any sense at all. Because if you're going to the Museum of Death, if you're going to HauntCon rather, you're probably already well familiar with most of the stuff that's in the Museum of Death.
Right.
I think the most interesting thing for me was they had one of Jack Kevorkian's machines.
Yeah.
And that was it. They had a macabre theater type thing, that a theater of macabre or whatever. It was not super interesting. Like you said, it, to me, it felt more exploitative.
Yeah, and it's very small.
Yeah, and there was something.
It's only
it is
one room.
Yeah, it's only one. It's a large room, admittedly, but it's in the French Quarter.
Yeah.
Which, if that's like a rule of thumb in New Orleans, if a thing is in the French Quarter,
yeah,
it is probably small.
Yeah, I would much rather visit the pharmacy museum.
Yes, that is awesome. Because
that is cool, and it has some of the old medical, also known as torture devices of the era. That's, you know, and it's a shame that they couldn't get that for
a tour destination.
A tour destination and a private tour for the industry.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
That would have been really good. But yeah, the tours I'm not super excited about. And that's usually one of the highlights of these types of conferences. Right. The tour of Rise will be excellent. Rise, yes, is well worth touring. It is a great haunted house.
Yes.
And we can say that now, having done haunts in how many states? 7 are we up to?
Yeah, I don't even know.
It's something. I think we're either at 6 or 7. I have to go back and actually count. But Rise is well worth it.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's not much.
The classes and things in the past have been geared towards a variety of people, from home haunters to people who want to learn how to make masks to, you know, it's just sound engineering, using the Raspberry Pi, stuff like that.
Yeah, they do a wide variety in the past. I mean, the part of the problem is what they did in the past has not much bearing on the future, because they got new owners this year.
Right.
And really and truly do not know what is going to happen this year.
Right. I mean, we plan on going. We plan on, if you are in town, remember, let us know, because we want to hang out and we want to show you what we do. So just a little plug there.
Yeah, yeah, let us know. But yeah, that's my thoughts on HauntCon right now. I do hope to speak there. It is in the past, and once again, everything's new. We're flying into the unknown here, people.
Yeah.
In a way that scares even the haunters.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my thoughts right now. We already touched on the other Facebook question, so we'll just bring it back. The other one was about postponing the podcast.
Because a lot of people are busy. I
know we don't have a very active chat and so forth, and that's fine. I understand. The problem is, like I said, episode 100 is timed out terribly.
Yeah.
There's nothing we could do, but we do want to do this as a live recording, as a recurring thing.
Yes.
Because I do think this could add a new dimension to this podcast. So maybe once a month or so, not the news episodes.
Right.
But maybe the math equation will get a little more complicated. Maybe the even numbers that aren't fours can be live or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It also depends upon our schedules. We're going to have to figure that out and talk about that.
So another question is, at 100 episodes in, how do we feel about continuing forward? We're going forward.
We're going forward. I mean,
full steam ahead.
we started this podcast literally because we realized we talked about haunting every week. And this was a way to keep us engaged and thinking about haunting during the months and seasons in which we might not be as engaged.
Right.
And one of the rules we had, because we did Garbage Horror, and we're going to do the reviews again after season for that.
Yeah.
But the one of the problems we had with the Garbage Horror was it required so much time to get even the basic videos out.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay, we can do this, but we're going to minimize the stuff around it.
Right.
And so a lot of the episodes is just us, a tripod, a recorder, in the spare bedroom.
Yeah.
Talking. And minimize the editing. We clean up the audio a little bit, but we don't do anything fancy. And the whole process of getting an episode done takes ideally underneath three and a half hours. That includes show notes, that's show notes, recording, editing, and uploading and promoting. That's it. We try to keep it minimal. We've gotten a lot of interest, though, in the past month or so, because we've been going to these haunts with the Haunt Weekly shirts.
Right.
And talking about how we're an industry-facing podcast. We're not doing the reviews on this. We're not review-oriented. We want to talk about haunted attractions from an industry standpoint. That includes, like I said, home haunts and pro haunts and everything.
Right.
So that's the approach. But, yeah, we're moving forward. I mean, we might start doing these live recordings regularly.
Yeah.
I hope that we are able to, if there is interest. And like I said, I expect more people will be able to show up
later. Later. We will try this again just to make sure, you know, at least one more live.
There will be at least one more live one. So if you didn't get to participate in this one, don't worry. Your chance to yell at us in the chat window is coming soon.
Yes.
Another good question here. One issue I've noticed that the pro haunt I work at after turnover has been terrible. So many have quit. It's an issue. Is this an issue that affects most haunts or for most haunts? Sorry. Should haunts try to do more to keep people? This is a great Japes question. I'm going to say that right now.
Yeah.
Japes is the expert here. All things actor training related. I would turn him in. Maybe we'll propose this to him whenever we have him on the show next, sometime after season.
Sylvia would also be a good
Sylvia would also be great. Absolutely. Sylvia would be wonderful for this. You're absolutely correct. So when we get them on, we'll propose this to them. But yeah, it's not an issue at every haunt.
No.
I know Japes has said he's worked at haunts. He's, every haunt has turnover.
Yes.
That's just life. Our haunt has turnover, even our small little haunt. Every haunt has turnover. That is life.
In fact, we're down an actor Halloween night and trying desperately to find a replacement.
Yeah, I've got to go text our potential replacement after we get off the show, in fact.
Yeah.
But Japes, I believe he said that he had most seasons something like 80% return rate.
Yeah.
Which is very, very good. And as far as, you know, what you can do and what should be done, one of the most important jobs in a haunt, I find, is the haunt mother, quote unquote, and it could be the haunt father, too. Haunt parent figure, whose job it is to make sure that actors are comfortable, they're okay, they are fed, they are watered. They're like little flowers.
Happy.
Yeah, they're happy little actors and happy little trees and happy little bushes.
Yeah.
And yeah. And this is definitely something we should probably do a full episode on with either Japes or Sylvia. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the thing about it is you have to have someone who can keep the actors happy, make sure that haunt drama is kept to a minimum.
Right.
Because that is a problem, especially because for us, retention is fairly easy. We only ask for 3 nights a year.
Right.
Plus maybe some help with the build along the way. Our ask is not that high.
Yeah.
We're pro haunts, you know, you're probably doing at least 16 nights each season.
Right.
So it's a much bigger ask, and that does result in more turnover.
Yeah.
But
there are ways to build your community within your haunt that people are going to want to stay just because they feel welcomed and a part of something bigger than themselves.
And one thing that we have found, both at the haunts we've worked at and at ours, that is a big help, is to do off-season activities.
Right.
Get everyone together for a movie night. We're going to get everyone together sometime November, hopefully, and watch Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Yeah.
Because we've been making Repo jokes, and no one is getting them. And that will not stand. And maybe we'll bring the entire crew to a Rocky Horror screen one time, and they do it monthly at the Britannia.
Yeah.
So we're going to do things like that with our crew. That helps build a rapport. That helps build a friendship. It helps build a network.
Right.
And
and I think this year also, all but one actor has done something that they have built in the haunt.
Yeah.
They have touched something in the haunt.
Yeah, that is very true. Having the actors actually build the haunt, put a little sweat equity into it.
Right.
That really discourages them.
Yeah. I mean, because one day we had three people over here helping me paint rocks on a wall.
Yeah, and one of them's working that room.
Yeah.
And she's looking at that rock wall every night she's in there.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. That it's a huge investment increase. So, yeah. So, yeah. I think there's a lot of things you can do to improve it, but every haunt has turnover. Turnover is a fact of life. People get jobs. People move away.
Right.
That's life.
And one other quick point on the haunt mom or haunt parent. They should be someone that is not as closely considered crew so that they are a safe person to go to tell when there's a problem because they're not going to take anything personally or, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it's kind of an outsider role, like an ombudsman type thing.
Right.
You've got to have someone on the outside.
Yeah.
Okay. In the haunt world, have you been invited to speak on any other haunt show, or have you been invited? Yeah, actually, I've spoken at other podcasts. I did the Big Scary Show not that long ago.
Right.
We did Haunt Topic Radio right after we launched.
Yes.
We got to make good on having Brian on.
Yeah, we reached out sometimes.
We tried. We just haven't been able to make the schedule clear.
They've got a really busy schedule.
Oh, God, yes. Those guys are nuts. trying to schedule anything with them is crazy. It's like, and in fact, when we were on the show, it's like, this is the time of recording. Be there or don't, you know, basically.
Yeah.
And then so they're so nice, but they're so busy. So
yeah,
and they're so busy. But yeah, a big scary show. I was on that. You can, right. I think the link's still on the Facebook page. But yeah, we've done a
lot. You've also spoken at Halloween and Haunt Fest.
Oh yeah, we've done conferences too. One Haunt Con, one Halloween and Haunt Fest. I think that's it for the actual haunted attraction conferences.
Right.
I've done.
And those are the ones that have been closest to us.
Yeah.
We were going to try to make some of the conferences next in this upcoming year.
Yeah.
Some of the ones we haven't been able
to
make it.
Well, your work schedule has changed, and there's going to be more time in the middle of the year.
Right.
Both for us to work on our haunt and for us to go to do things like that.
Right.
So that'll be good.
Yeah. Much more flexible schedule. Happy about that.
Yes. So even though you're working 5 days a week now, most months, the improved flexibility is nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it has been absolutely crazy. Oh gosh, Japes is here. James is in the chat. Oh, God, he's going to tell us how wrong we are, isn't he? No, actually, he says, I agree with all the stuff he said about retention. Ratios are important. There should be one lead for every 20 actors. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that completely. That is a good point. Having colonels?
Yeah.
How's the rank? Lieutenants? Lieutenants.
I don't know. I just know what I am.
Yeah, and right, we're small enough, we just have one lead, because...
Actually, no, I have broken it up.
That's true, you have, you did.
I've broken it up so that we now have two.
Yeah.
Because, and part of it goes back to the, you know, you don't necessarily want the owner being the person to go to directly.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
So...
But yeah, we do have a new split there in terms of leadership. But yeah, I just realized something though. Inside the haunt, we are completely female led.
Yeah.
I just realized that our other lieutenant is a woman too.
Yeah, and our acting coach.
Female, as the Ferengis would say.
Yes, and our acting coaches too.
Yes.
Because we have an accomplished actress that is now working with us, and we were actually able to have. I know this is going to hurt your heart a little bit, James, but we were able to have our first rehearsal ever. Because we were able to get finished early enough to do it.
Oh, God. Yeah, any leads on who may be appearing on... who may be appearing on your coming up? Maybe appearing on our podcast? Well, James will be around.
Yeah.
See, he's even telling us the correct terms. We team leads. I like that name, actually. That's a pretty good name.
Yeah.
But so yeah, we're having Jake's back, I'm sure, soon. Sylvia is going to be coming back on, hopefully.
Right.
You can go check out the previous episode with her.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful story. Wonderful episode. Wonderful story. Wonderful episode. I'm a blog. Yeah. Can you tell I'm a blogger like most days of the year?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Yeah, but we are definitely looking forward to having them back. Hopefully, we're going to have others from the industry. So our expectation right now is in like mid-November when everyone's calmed down a little bit.
Right.
We can start after everyone's done Legendary Haunt Tour.
Right.
Which is a big conference in Pennsylvania.
I don't know. We didn't do conference reminders.
I think it's in Pennsylvania, but. We're not going to it, but a lot of haunters are. We're going to have people on the show. We're going to start reaching out and getting people on. Because right now, it is crazy pants time. I know. I'm sorry, guys. believe me, when I realized episode 100 would line up with Halloween, I just thought, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, we're not doing anything too crazy special for it. And we are definitely running out of time on this recording. So we'll take a few more minutes here. Retention... Anything else we want to discuss real fast? Any final questions before we naff off here and get back to either sleep or work on haunt? I'm not sure which.
I have to actually clean the house some.
What, the house?
Yeah, I know. It's the first day I've had in like a month.
Oh, man. You know, so before we naff off and do things here. But yeah, all in all, this has been so far a wonderful season. Halloween is still coming up. The weather will be perfect. It'll be a little warm for my personal taste.
Yeah.
But the cold weather, we had a real cold snap on Saturday. And I don't get it, man. Everyone's like, oh, it's too cold to go to a haunted house. It's Halloween, man. What kind of weather do you associate with it?
Well, and the thing is that
you don't go to haunted houses and flip flops. Come on.
Obviously, they've never lived north of I-10. So, because there are people going to haunted houses in the snow, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Oh, there are. In fact, I got a photo from my aunt today on Facebook. It's snowing in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Where they live. It's not in my part of South Carolina, a little further north in South Carolina. It's snowing. But yeah, so I don't get it. But it'll be 75 and moony come Halloween night. So it should be absolutely gorgeous weather for anyone. And this is a knock on wood moment, of course. But it should be great weather for people to come out and get scared.
Right.
And we'll have to work to make our actors more comfortable. Oh, real quick, last question. We'll take this and then we'll have to wrap it up.
Okay.
But yeah, music you guys use at your haunt.
Yeah.
We try to use music since we're non-commercial haunt. Right. We don't have to get our ass cap and BMI and CSAC and all that in order to play the music.
Right.
It's only for commercial. But however, what we do, if you are a pro haunt, yes, you have to do these things and do them.
Yes,
It's not expensive, and believe me, it's way cheaper than the alternative.
Right.
But yeah, as far as what music we use, we try to use something that's appropriate to the theme we're doing.
Yeah.
Last year we had a diner theme, like a 50s diner theme for most of it, and so we had like doo-wop music. But like really messed up doo-wop music.
Yeah, we may be able to share a clip of some.
Yeah,
something.
We'll try to put some a clip of it somewhere, maybe on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because yeah, we did like really messed up sounding doo-wop music, and that seemed to creep people out as much, if not more, than the haunt.
Yes, Lollipop Slowed Down and Deep End is pretty creepy.
I'd forgotten we used Lollipop. Oh my god. Oh, jeez. We used that. We used Wanderer by Dion and the Belmonts was in there.
Yeah.
Butcher Pete was in there in the butcher sequence in the back kitchen area.
Yeah. Well, you got to have a butcher and a diner, right?
Exactly. Just gotta,
not exactly.
I mean,
but,
not really,
yeah.
No. But it does fit the theme. It worked out well.
This year, though, we've got a lot of things that we found on archive.org, sound.
Public domain sounds. And music.
Public domain sounds.
We try to do our own audio design whenever possible.
Yeah.
And one thing, we didn't use a lot of just pure music this year. We have a music box type thing that plays.
Yeah, that's broken.
A broken music box playing in one sequence. Another, we have, we actually used the theme from Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Because we're doing, the whole theme this year centers around classic horror movies.
Yeah.
We're doing a theme centered on a murderous filmmaker who is you know, like I said, obsessed with realism and wants to make sure all of his scenes look absolutely as realistic as possible. And so we have and obviously none of these scenes are directly from a film, but they're like the tropes. We're playing with the tropes. So you have the creepy library scene, like from the 70s films, like the Hammer films. Now it's Rocky Horror because we have a light up globe.
Right.
It was envisioned to be a Hammer film, but it's Rocky Horror now. And we have like the Mad Scientist.
I envisioned it as Rocky Horror, watching the Rocky Horror entrance.
Yes.
You know.
But so you have that, you have like a Mad Scientist only scene, you have a German Expressionist room, you have a 1980s style scene that deals with like disease and containment. And long story short, every scene, we try to pick music that's appropriate to that scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's nailed to the scene.
Right.
And Japes has just sent us a very interesting thing about actor coordinator versus actor manager.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll have to read up on that. That's actually really, really good information. But yeah, so we try to do music that's representative of the scene. We have the Nosferatu theme, which actually works in both the Mad Scientist and the German Expressionist room.
Right.
It fits both pretty well.
Yeah, if we could have found a MP3 player, we probably would have had the bubbling noises and stuff.
Yeah, we had a little tech malfunction there. I'm not going to lie to you. But one thing that we have found that works really, really well, and the technology we're super happy with, we're probably going to pick up more, are screen boxes.
Yeah.
These are, they're designed, and if you look at the way they're configured, they're supposed to be for like jump scares, but they're actually really useful for playing background music too, because the lower volume setting is really good for background music.
Yeah.
And that way you can have the music start at a specific point when they enter the room, and you know exactly where they are in the as they go through in the music. You can just use a shorter clip if you want.
Right.
So it actually works really, really well. They don't have a lot of memory. I think they have 4 megabytes of memory. Yeah. But you can get a lot of audio in that if you compress it right.
Right. Well, and the other thing that's nice about that is that the actors don't have to listen to that same noise all night long.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciate, because we don't usually use short clips that are on repeat.
No. But like our doo-wop playlist, I think, was 1 hour long.
Right. Yeah.
And then every time Lollipop would come on, I would actually even be outside. I would hear, ugh. Everyone would get weirded out. Lollipop, lollipop. It's so
weird. Exactly. That's so, pretty accurate, actually.
It's so wrong. All right, real fast, before we sign off, Jape sent us the thing about actor coordinator versus actor manager. Actor coordinator responds to applications, responsible for actor paperwork, check in, check out, room assignments, keeps payroll and attendance incentives. Handles 6 and injured actors, deals with actor drama, then the actor manager, leads training prior to season, plans room assignments, observes performances, noting strong and weak actors, basically, manages team leads, provides coaching and co-acting, makes hiring and firing decisions, deals with actor, hey, both of them deal with actor drama,
you got to, because one of them's,
No, that's a good, that's a very helpful distinction.
Yeah,
we'll have to go into that more with you later, Japes. That sounds like an episode that we need to discuss.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this past hour. Thank you for 100 great episodes.
Yes.
We have enjoyed having you along for this crazy experiment. Looking forward to 100 more.
Yeah, at least.
Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 100.
Woo!
We're doing it live. We will see you guys next week.